We can't change the climate directly in a court of law. No judge has the power to make ice caps grow or the levels of carbon drop, but the courts can potentially dictate policy moves that can change actions on climate. Our Children's Trust, based in Eugene, sets up court cases with children as the plaintiffs, including the case Chernaig v. Brown, formerly Chernaig v. Kitzhaber in Oregon. That case got a day in court a couple of weeks ago. Julia Olson is the executive director and chief legal counsel at our Children's Trust and is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Hi, Julia.
Hi, good morning, Jeff.
So the cases are based on the trust doctrine. For us non-lawyers, can you give us a refresher course on that?
Yeah, the public trust doctrine is a legal principle that is based in our constitutional rights, and it says that government has to act as a trustee and protect our essential commonly shared resources, not just for our benefit, but also for the benefit of future generations. And there's this case. It was decided by our U.S. Supreme Court over 100 years ago, and it was about the shoreline of Chicago and how a railroad company couldn't take over that shoreline and prevent public access to the waters. And so we have this very deep history in our country of enforcing and upholding the public trust doctrine for all of our benefits.
And so in that case, it was used to establish a precedent with was it about the use of the water or the use of the land up to the water? And I'm just trying to figure out other cases in which it's been used.
Yeah, both. So it's been really commonly applied to waterways for navigation and for drinking and recreation. It's been extended to wildlife protection. It's been extended to our beaches here in Oregon so that we have public access. And it's also been now extended to the atmosphere. Last month, the New Mexico Court of Appeals in one of our related cases ruled that New Mexicans have a constitutional right to have the atmosphere protected as a public trust resource. And so that's now what we're asking the court in Oregon to also hold, to give Oregonians that same protection and require the state to reduce our emissions in Oregon so that we can help contribute to the protection of that resource that's substantially impaired right now.
And so was there a particular time and place when the idea came up to use the public trust doctrine in court on behalf of kids for the climate change issue particularly?
Well, it's interesting. Professor Mary Wood, who's here at the University of Oregon Law School, started thinking about environmental law and some of its failures. I mean, we're in a climate crisis where you have significant issues going on, as you and your listeners know. And our current system isn't functioning properly to protect those resources. And so she went back to the roots of all of our environmental laws, and she looked at the public trust doctrine and really started writing about how we need to go back to these fundamental principles about our constitutional rights, our rights as citizens, and what is the primary function of government. And it's to protect us, including the resources on which we all depend and that we often take for granted. And the atmosphere is one of those resources that's now threatened. So it was really her scholarship that led us to pursue the atmospheric trust litigation campaign that our Children's Trust is now leading on behalf of young people.
So the governor of Oregon is the defendant in the suit, and it doesn't really matter which governor because the case was called Chernaig versus Kitzhaber. Now it's called Chernaig versus Brown. What is being demanded of whoever occupies the governor's office in the suit?
Well, what's at stake right now is the court just needs to decide, is the atmosphere and are the waters of our state public trust resources? So the plaintiffs are asking for that declaration of law. And then they're also asking for the court to decide, based on the evidence that is before him, that the state has breached its duties as a trustee over those resources, because our resources are significantly impaired right now and continuing to be impacted by carbon dioxide emissions specifically. And so if the court makes those two decisions, that there's a duty to protect the resources and there's been a breach of that duty, then the case would move forward to the next step of, well, what's an appropriate remedy for the plaintiff? And in all of the work that we're doing across the United States, what we really want governments to do is develop a plan that's based on science for how are we going to transition off of fossil fuels soon enough to meet what science says is necessary in order to curtail our carbon emissions. So that's ultimately what we seek.
Julia Olson's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Executive Director and Chief Legal Counsel at Our Children's Trust. Our Children's Trust is behind the case in court in Lane County, the Chernaik versus Brown case now on behalf of Olivia Chernaik and Kelsey Juliana, who I think were 14 and 11 when the case started. We'll check that in just a moment. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 throughout the listening area or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Bill in Medford, welcome to the discussion.
Yeah, good morning. I'm all for the result that those folks want to get. Of course, I feel strongly about the environmental moves that we have to make, but I'm afraid that she's in the wrong place. Courts don't decide policy. They don't make policy. They simply enforce law. So I think where these good people need to go is to the legislature to get some stronger policy. If you can tie this case to some statutes that are in existence already, of course, that's great. I hope you do. Hope you're successful on that. But I simply need to note that, once again, courts do not make policy. They enforce law.
All right. Fair enough. Thanks for that, Bill. Appreciate it. And Bill, once again, has read my mind. The next question on my sheet, Julia, was why the governor and not the legislature?
Well, so let me be clear. We think absolutely that the governor and the legislature in Oregon and in other states have the legal obligation to act and to enact policies that will protect us. But when they are violating citizens' rights, it's absolutely the role of the court to review what they're doing and to decide whether they are in violation of their public trust and constitutional obligations to the people. If you don't have that check on the other branches of government, then you're concentrating too much power in the legislature or in the executive. And it's why we have a system of three branches of government so that the judiciary can act as a check on the other branches. So it's absolutely important to be going to all three branches of government. But the courts have a very important role to play here. And I would just remind listeners about Brown versus Board of Education as an example of this. So that was a time where states had policies in place saying that children had to go to segregated schools. Black and white children couldn't be in the same schools together, among many other forms of discrimination against African Americans. And it wasn't until the U.S. Supreme Court in Brown versus Board of Education and then subsequent cases said that's a violation of their rights. But then the states were compelled to change their policies. So their policies weren't following the law. So there are many instances where judges step in to correct injustices that are being perpetuated by the executive and legislative branches of government.
And was there a consideration or an attempt to take this up in federal court rather than state court?
We did have one federal case initially. We took it all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court declined to hear it. They only take about 1% of the cases they're asked to take. But we have a new case in the works, and you'll see a new action filed against the United States in the coming months.
All right, so
both going after the states for their violations of law and the federal government is both very important.
And, Julia, how did you settle upon these particular plaintiffs, Olivia Chernaik and Kelsey Juliana? And how old were they when this case initiated?
I think it was 11 and 14. I think those numbers are right, those ages. So all of the kids that we work with around the country are young people who are already very engaged in trying to work on these issues of climate justice. And many of them are engaged in youth organizations that are working on these issues. Kelsey Juliana had been involved with Kids versus Global Warming. She had also been working with Sierra Club's SPROG training program. So she was very engaged already when we met her. And she found out that these cases were going to be brought, and she wanted to be a plaintiff. And that's how it has worked with the young people that we work with all across the country.
Julia Olson, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Executive Director and Chief Legal Counsel at Our Children's Trust. We're talking about the case Chernaik versus Brown was Chernaik versus Kitzhaber, seeking some court remedy or at least some directions to the executive branch in Oregon on action on climate change. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Wayne in Wolf Creek. Welcome to the exchange.
Thanks for taking my call. And along with Bill, who called earlier, and I have to comment on her comment about the Brown versus Board of Education decision, things like that, and how successful they are really on the ground, because they're not. But my comment was is that I think she's barking up the wrong tree, because our government's rather dysfunctional, and so much of what she's trying to do can be trumped by corporate law and their right to make a profit. And as an aside, the TPP will kickstart or put this in high gear on a worldwide basis to our detriment. And in this country, the only thing working at this time is corporate money, corporate lobby dollars, all those super PACs, and things like the Koch brothers and ALEC. That's how you get it done now, folks.
All right, Wayne, thank you. And I should point out that since we're reaching critical mass on TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, that will be one of the topics on our Vents Day segment Wednesday at 8:30. Make sure you're with us to talk about it then. But Olivia, to the point of corporate law and being trumped by the search for profits and everything, I mean, how much does that get in the way? How much do you think it might or has it?
I mean, obviously, decisions like Citizens United and our lack of campaign finance reform have a huge impact on our system. You know, our young people, many of our plaintiffs in these cases, they can't vote, and they don't have money to influence politics. And I think there's a lot of empirical evidence that shows that most adults aren't going to the polling booth and voting on behalf of young people or even future generations. There's a lot of self-interest in looking in the short time frame when people vote. And so there is this significant injustice that's happening right now, and there is a very important role for the courts to play. And again, they are not going to alone solve the problem, but they can issue legal mandates to the other branches of government, instructing them to develop plans that will protect young people and future generations. And there is, in fact, in Oregon right now, for those interested in working on the legislative branch, there is a bill. It's HB 3470. It is a Climate Stability and Justice Act, and it would set caps on carbon in our state and then allow the Department of Environmental Quality to set up a trading program similar to what's happening in California and have pricing mechanisms for carbon, which is something people in our state are really interested in. So that bill is before the Rules Committee right now, and people should contact their representatives and let them know they want that piece of legislation to move forward this term. So I encourage people to keep putting the pressure on the other branches, but there is absolutely a role for the court to play in defining the legal rights and the obligations of our other branches of government.
So, Julia, with this case, Chernyk versus Brown, you're back in front of the same judge who at first chucked the case. I mean, was it dismissed out of hand? What happened at the beginning of this?
Yeah, initially the judge, he dismissed the case. He agreed with the state's arguments that it was a political question. He shouldn't get involved in it. But the Court of Appeals reversed him very directly and said, this is, in fact, your job. This case is properly before you. And the plaintiffs do have a right to have their legal rights declared and for you to decide whether the state is breaching their legal rights. I know climate change is such a big issue that people think it can't go into a courtroom. But in fact, all of the science and evidence that is before the judge in this case is undisputed. The state doesn't dispute any of the evidence that the plaintiffs are relying on to say that the state has violated the law. And so it's actually one of the simplest cases I've ever been a part of in terms of the factual record. And while the solutions, the intricacies of the policies and the planning that needs to happen at the legislative and executive levels are complex, the actual decision about whether the legal right has been violated is very clear in this case.
And you think it's very clearly, yes, it has been violated.
Yes, it has been violated.
Does the ruling in the New Mexico case in the Court of Appeals help at all? I mean, does that ever enter into? I mean, it probably didn't happen in time for it to be mentioned in court on April 7th, but I mean, does that provide any precedent that can be used down the road potentially?
It's not binding precedent on the Oregon courts, but it is persuasive. And I will also say, of all the cases, I think we've had about 16 cases moving in different courts and at different levels. And we have not yet had a judge say that the atmosphere is not a public trust resource as a merits decision. So if Judge Rasmussen in Oregon issues that declaration, he will be the first judge in the country and in the world that I'm aware of to make that decision. I mean, that would be a very, very stark decision that goes against a lot of precedent. And so we're hoping that he's going to see that the law really supports him making a declaration in favor of the plaintiff.
And that's Judge Karsten Rasmussen. This was back on April 7th. So what was that, just a hearing in front of the judge? There was nothing, no other bodies there to hear it, just that one judge, right?
It was just that one judge, and the plaintiffs were there, and there were about 400 people, I think, who showed up. There was a packed courtroom, a packed overflow room, kids rallying around the courthouse. It was really quite impressive to see the outpouring of support for the youth on that day.
And what happens now then? He heard the arguments from both your lawyers and from the state's lawyers. And so how long potentially before a decision? Did he make any indication of when he might say something?
He did. He said he would probably take about 1 to 2 months. So we're anticipating perhaps late May or early June we might get a ruling from him.
And any preliminary indications based on questions asked of the lawyers where he might be heading with this?
I think he's really taking a hard look at the issues and struggling with some of them. I think he does see that the law favors our position, particularly on certain issues, like our beaches are absolutely public trust resources in Oregon, as are our shellfish, our tidelands. And he recognized during the argument that those things are being impaired by our carbon pollution and by climate change and ocean acidification. So I think he's really taking a hard look, and we hope that he rules in our favor. And if he doesn't, we can always go back to the Court of Appeals.
Okay, so it looks like anywhere from 2 to 7 weeks we should be hearing something out of the court in Eugene. Julia Olson is the Executive Director and Chief Legal Counsel at Our Children's Trust behind the case Chernag versus Brown. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
All right, take care.